الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عسى ربه ان طلقكن ان يبدله ازواجا خيرا منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات طيبات وابكارا يا ايها الذين امنوا قوا انفسكم واهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجاره عليها ملائكه غلاظ شداد عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون يا أيها الذين كفروا لا تعتذروا اليوم إنما تجزون ما كنتم تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم يقولون ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. In the previous session we were discussing Ayah number 5 of Surah Al-Tahreem. I told you that in the background there seems to be the incident which is famous in the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam under the title of Ila. Ila means not divorce but separation. The Prophet decided that I won't have any connection with any of my wives. He started living in a separate hujra. And this continued for full 1 month. And this sad affair came to an end in a very beautiful way. When finally the option was given to all the wives, if you prefer this world, wealth, amenities, comforts, facilities, then come, I'll give you wealth, but then you'll have to leave my houses. You can't go with me. You can't live with me then. But if you prefer Allah and His Messenger, well okay, then you will have to live as you are living. All the comforts, all the luxuries of life, they are not for me, nor for you. If you want to remain in the wedlock with me. When all the wives of the Prophet said, we prefer Allah and His Messenger, then it came to an end. But it seems that this ayah was also revealed in those days, because the style of the ayah, it is very much befitting this event. Asa Rabbuhu. It's just possible that if in tallaqakunna, if he divorces all of you, then his Rabb, his master, his Lord will, and it is for him, it is very easy, an yubdilahu azwajan khairam min kunna. That he gives him, his prophet, wives better than you. It is not impossible for him. Don't think there can be no better wife for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than yourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing it. He can provide him with better wives. Azwajan khairam min kunna. And they will have all those attributes and all those qualities. Muslimatin. They will be submissive to the will of Allah. Islam means to surrender before the will of Allah. Mu'minatin, having the real iman, the real faith, the real belief. Qanitatin, again obedience. They will be obedient. And this word, because it comes in connection with the wife also. Fasalihatu qanitatun, and their qanitatun means obedient to the husbands. So here this word seems to be regarding the husbands. Qanitatun. They will be obedient to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taibatin. Those who will be doing tawbah, returning to Allah again and again. And because mistakes are committed by human beings. But whosoever has real faith in his head, in his mind, in his heart, he will just repent. He will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Abitatin, doing worship, all more and more. Saihatin, this word is a bit difficult to translate, because siyaha, in the older days, in the past, you know, that was the habit of people going away in jungles and woods for the sake of having solitude, to have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this siyaha, in our religion, in Islam, it has been banned. The Prophet has been reported to have said, La siyahata fil Islam illa sawm. Sawm, fasting. You are not eating and all the other pleasures, sexual connection with your wife, all forbidden in when you are fasting. So that is only limited form of siyaha in Islam. Otherwise, La rahbaniyata fil Islam. In Islam, there is no place for any rahbaniyat. So this siyahatin here means, those who will like to abandon the luxuries of this world. They will not be after the luxuries of this life and this world. Sayyibatin wa abkara. Sayyibat are those women who had been married before, either divorced or widowed. And abkara, the virgins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling all the wives of the Prophet that if my messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decides to divorce you all, we are capable of providing him better wives than yourselves, all of you, who will have all the qualities that have been enunciated here. Now these five ayats, they have a common background. That the wives of the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet, are because of his leniency, they were taking some latitude. They were taking some freedom, which they shouldn't have taken. Because in a Muslim family, the wives have to be obedient to their husbands. Because the discipline in the family that can only be strengthened if the head of the family is obeyed. Actually, this is the weakening of this institution of family that was common between in all these incidents that are in the background of these ayat. And I told you that the ayah of Surah Al-Taghabun, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. We may say that these five ayat are, so to say, an explanation of that one ayah, Surah Al-Taghabun. Now that ayah is giving, we may say, a negative aspect of something whose positive aspect is coming in the next ayah, ayah number 6. What is it? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who profess to believe, try to save yourselves and your families from the fire of hell, from the punishment of fire. This is the positive role that the father or the husband has to play. Because we generally think that we are responsible for feeding our children, supporting them, supporting and fulfilling their needs for their education so that they can have good careers in this life. They can lead these lives in a better way, in a normal way, honorable way. So this is the all that we are thinking about them. But the role as a Muslim, the first and foremost role as a Muslim husband, he is responsible for the wife. He should try to save her wife from the punishment of fire and the hereafter. So he, because he is the head of the family. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reported to have said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masulun ra'iyatihi." All of you are like those herdsmen who are responsible for the herd of goats and sheep. A person who is taking them out, then he is responsible. In the evening, he will be responsible for every goat and every sheep that he has taken out. In the same way, every Muslim is responsible for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed as his subordinates. Wife, his sons and daughters. Actually, he is responsible for them. and mother is responsible for the children. The husband is responsible for the wife as well as the children. Mother is responsible for the children. And so on. كُلُّكُمْ رَعِيٌ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسُولٌ رَيَّتِهِ. All of you are like herdsmen. And all of you are responsible, accountable. So in that way, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Don't care for their only, they're feeding them, clothing them, only for giving them the education which is beneficial to them for this worldly life. If you are caring for these things, well, okay. This is also correct for you. Do it. But the first and foremost duty as Muslims is to try to save them from the fire of hell, from the doom of the life of hereafter. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. That fire, the fuel of that fire is going to be men as well as stones. Why stones? It seems because the people who were the first addressees of the Quran, the people of Arab, the people of Makkah, because they worshipped idols, which were made of stone. So it was told to them that when you will be thrown in the fire of hell, along with you, these idols whom you think they are gods and goddesses, they will also be burning along with you in the fire of hell. To add insult to injury, so that your grief and your sorrow is doubled and trebled. That these are the things which we thought that they are gods and goddesses, and they are also here burning in the fire of hell. So this seems to be the explanation. All the ferocity of that intensity, the heat of that fire, that can be devoted to by this, that fuel will not only be the wood, as they used to have fire only by burning wood, but the stones will be burning. They will be the fuel of that fire. So actually it can only be for the intensity of that fire, the heat. But second opinion is, and that to me appeals more, that because they were worshipping idols which were made of stone, so it's been told to them that they will also be thrown in the fire of hell along with you. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. The more important part of this ayah is coming now. عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. On that fire of hell, there are those malaika, those angels who are working there, who are in service over there, who are controlling that fire of hell, who are ghilaz and shiddad, who are very fierce, very stern. They have no mercy in their hearts. This is actually to show that out of love for your offspring and your sons and daughters and wives, and out of this love, you are lenient to them, and out of this leniency, they are going astray. They are going on wrong ways. They are not praying. And you say, okay, he will pray when he gets up. There's no need that I wake him up now, actually let him sleep. Out of mercy, out of love. But if he is not accustomed to saying prayer in the morning or in the fajr, then actually what are you doing for him? You are as if, you are behaving as enemy to him. You are not loving him. You are behaving as an enemy. Because if that habit of theirs becomes permanent, now he is not getting up for saying his fajr prayer. What will happen? What are you doing to him? Actually, you are as if giving them up to those angels who are there, deputed on the fire of hell. They will have no mercy. But they will punish these beloveds of you. They are the beloveds of you. But out of this leniency and love here, you are throwing them in the hands of, in the charge of those angels who have no mercy whatsoever. عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. They are fierce, they are stern, they are merciless. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. They don't disobey Allah. Whatever He commands, they do it. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. And whatever is commanded to them, they do. They enforce His decree and judgment. If He judges that such and such persons are to be thrown in that fire, they will throw Him. And if they are mourning and groaning and crying and weeping, well, their heart is not going to soften. They are fierce of heart. غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. So it's time to think that don't by your leniency and your love, your family, don't throw them, don't let them go on that way which will take them to the doom, to the punishment of fire in the later life which is to come after death. Ya ayyuha alladhina kafaru la ta'tadiru al-yawm. And then when the people will be thrown in that fire, and then they'll be mourning and groaning and presenting excuses, it will be said to them, Ya ayyuha alladhina kafaru la ta'tadiru al-yawm. Oh, you who disbelieved. They belied the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they told that you will be resurrected, you said, no, it's impossible. How can we be resurrected? When they were said that you will face the accountability of the day of judgment, there's not going to be any day of judgment. When you say, when they told you that there is going to be fire of hell and there's going to be paradise, you said it's all concoction. Nothing, it's all fiction. Nothing is going to happen. So now don't make excuses. Don't present lame excuses. لَا تَعْتَذِرُ الْيَوْمِ. Don't present excuses, lame excuses before us today. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. You are being rewarded just according to what you have been doing. These are your own deeds. Actually what will come to us in the hereafter will be the real deeds that we have committed over here. Only here they are veiled. There is some sugar coating. We are committing a sin, but this is sugar coated. It gives us some pleasure, some gratification, some sensual gratification, some immediate pleasure we get out of it. But actually it's the bitter pill which has been sugar coated. In the hereafter, only that coating will be removed, and then the reality within that act or deed will appear, and we shall have to taste it then. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. The reward that is being given to you is actually what you have been doing. What you were, your deeds, what you committed, that has come before you. And that is actually the punishment that you are having today. Now comes a very profound ayah of this surah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا. If this is the condition, these are the facts, this is the truth, these events are to come. This is no fiction, this is no stories. It is the truth that we have revealed to our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he has made it known to you. He has conveyed our message to you. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. O you who have come to believe, or O you who profess to be believing, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Turn to Allah, rather return to Allah, with the best of your intentions, with best of sincerity, from the depths of your heart. And I discussed, you know, yesterday, what is that tawbatul nasuh, that real tawbah, real repentance. There must be repentance in the heart. You must have heard here, because Bible uses this word too often. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. And kingdom of heaven, that they actually, they think that when Jesus will come again, and there will be a different type of world we shall have in this very world, a different system, and we also believe that Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, he will come again. And actually the Jews will be punished by him, at his hands, because he was the messenger of Allah for the Jews, he was sent for the Jews. So actually then, we have the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that before the end of this world, that system of Khilafah ala bin Hajj al-Nubuwa will be established over the whole of the globe. So that kingdom of heaven on earth is just at hand. It's going to come. Maybe it's coming very soon. It's not very far off. But they use the word repent. So repent towards Allah. Repent on your sins, misdeeds, on the life that you have spent in ignorance. You were forgetful of Allah. You were forgetful about the hereafter. You have just forgotten the real life that is ahead of us, that is to start after the death. So now repent. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Make tawbah. But this tawbah should be pure. It should be with sincerity of the heart. And what are the conditions? Real repentance in heart, firm resolve that now onward I will not commit any sin. not break any law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will live and abide by the laws and injunctions of the Sharia. I will do my best. I will exert my utmost to do what my Lord wants me to do. This firm resolve should be there. And number three, you have to really and actually give up the sins. Then the tawbah is pure. Then this tawbah is acceptable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these three conditions are those regarding those sins which concern the huquq of Allah, rights of Allah. You have not been praying. You have some other things which were first and you were not fulfilling. You could perform Hajj and you have not as yet performed it. So these things regarding the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because about Hajj also you must have read the ayah. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. It's the right of Allah over people that they should perform Hajj of His house. So if actually this is also from Huququllah. The Salah is also the haqq of Allah, the right of Allah. So about the Huquq of Allah, rights of Allah, whatever shortcomings we have been committing, for those three conditions, if we fulfill, they are sufficient for the acceptability of that tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But regarding the sins concerning huququl ibad, you have cheated someone of his money. You have blamed him, and which is actually not the true blame. This is some baseless blame. And you have given him a bad name. All these things are, you know, you have injured his honor. Then you must get the forgiveness from that person. Or if he has died, you do something and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the sawab and reward of this good deed of mine should be credited to his account. Because if you can do it today, it's much better. But on the day of judgment, as I told the hadith last evening, that the Prophet once asked the Muslims, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ muflis? Do you know who is muflis? Who is poor? Who is penniless? The answer was from the companions of the Prophet, Al-Muflisu indana man la dirhama lahu wa la dinara. O Messenger of Allah, we think a person to be muflis who doesn't have any dinar or dirham with him. The Prophet said, no, the muflis of my ummah will be a person who will come on the Day of Judgment with a very big amount of prayers and psalm and hajj, many hajj he performed. But alongside with that, he must have cheated someone. He must have you have dishonored someone, so he had injured and destroyed the huquq of people, huququl ibad, and those claimants will come. And to someone, one of these claimants, all his prayers will be given. Take this away. This is the only currency here. Compensation can be done only through the good deeds that he has. To someone else, all his hajj will be given, all his songs will be given, nothing will be left with him. And still the claimants will be there. Now the sins of those claimants, they will be added to his account. And he will be finally thrown in the fire of hell. He is the muflis of my ummah. So this is the importance of huququl ibad, which we take very lightly. The religious minded people generally, they are very conscious of prayers and psalm and all these rites and rituals. But they take all these things very lightly. While we find that in the teachings of the Quran and teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, more importance is attached to the rights of people. You must fulfill them. You must not deprive them of their rights. So now this tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising, if you do tawbah, nasur, pure tawbah, then asa rabbukum an yukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. You can hope that your Lord will remove or remit or efface your ill deeds from your record. All that you have been doing up till now, Allah will remit it, remove it, efface it from the record of your deeds. وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ وَيُدْخِلَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. And He'll make you enter those gardens underneath which the canals will be flowing. يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِي اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. The day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not put to humiliation, will not abase His messenger and those who had iman, who had faith with Him. Nuruhum yasa baina aydihim wa bi aymanihim. Their light will be running in front of them and alongside their right side. Yaqulun, and they will be saying and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana atmim lana nurana, O our Lord, make our light perfect, make it complete, waghfir lana, and forgive us our sins and mistakes and shortcomings. Innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir, because you have all the authority with you. You can do anything you like. Nobody can hold your hands. Nobody can come in your way. You are all powerful. You have all the authority. Now this is actually a picture of the hashr, the field where whole of the humanity will be standing before the Lord, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the resurrection. And in that there is some point, at one point, the Muslims will be separated from the munafiqeen. First division will be between the kuffar and the Muslims. Whosoever didn't believe in Allah, didn't believe in the messengers, didn't believe in the hereafter, didn't believe in the books. Now they are separated. They have to go to the hell. Now they are Muslims. A distinction is to be made now between the real mu'mins, because Muslims can have real mu'mins, they can be munafiq also. If they were munafiq in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why can't there be munafiq today? Always in the ummah we shall find munafiqeen. And these munafiqeen and Muslims, in this world they are together. Because they recite the kalima. Maybe the munafiqeen of the days of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them used to pray in the first row. Abdullah ibn Ubay, who was the leader of the munafiqeen, he used to pray right behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he used to stand up when the Prophet was to say some sermon and to deliver some speech. First of all, he used to stand up and say, people, listen to him. He is the messenger of Allah. Listen to him carefully, attentively. Because he was one of the chiefs of that tribe of Banu Khadraj. So he used that position, and to express his position there, he used to stand first before the lecture was being delivered by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to address the audience. So that was his position. But they were munafiq. And the munafiq, for about the munafiqeen, Quran says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will be thrown in the lowest part of Jahannam. In the lowest section of Jahannam, you know, that will be the abode of the munafiqeen. They are going to be lower than the kuffar. So at that level, at that point, a distinction will be made between Muslims and munafiqeen. This matter has been fully discussed in Surah Al-Hadid. But here, let me give you the brief account that whosoever Muslim will have real faith, real iman in the heart, it will appear as a light. And whosoever was committing good deeds with his right hand, the light of those good deeds will appear on his right side. When they will have to pass over Jahannam, there will be a bridge which we call Pul Sirat, As-Sirat, and we have to cross it. If somebody can cross it, he will go and enter paradise. And if he doesn't, he will fall in the Jahannam which is underneath. So actually at that time, there will be absolute darkness. Only the true mu'min will have light. And he will walk over that passage with the light of Iman and with the light of the good deeds that will appear on his right side. Nuruhum yas'a baina aydihim wa bi'aymanihim. And in Surah Al-Hadid, you know, the munafiqs, you know, they have been reported that they will say, O mu'mins, please wait for us. Unzuruna naqtabis min nurikum. They will have no light because they didn't have real iman. So they will have no light with them. And because without iman, no good deed is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has no light. So actually they will be without any light. And they will then, because they will have no light, they will be thrown in the fire of hell, which is beneath, which is under. So that is the position, and its detail is to be discussed in Surah Al-Hadid. Here it is given, if you make real tawbah, true tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will efface from your record the evil deeds that you have committed up till now. And then what will be the result? He will make you enter those gardens underneath which the canals will be flowing. Nuruhum yas'a baina aydihim wa bi'aymanihim. Their nur, their light, the light of their iman will be in front of them. The light of their good deeds will be on their right side. Nuruhum yasa, it will be running before them. بَيْنَ أَعْدِيهِمْ وَبَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِنْ لَنَا نُورَنَا. They'll be saying, O Allah, O our Rabb, O our Lord, please make our noor, our light complete. Because the Prophet had said that every person will get that light according to the iman that he has. Iman of Abu Bakr رضي الله تعالى عنه, and iman of an ordinary sahabi, and then iman of any one of us. There's a world of difference between all these things. So the Prophet said, to some this light which will be given will be so intense that it will light all the way from Medina to Adan. It will shine all this area. And for some, you know, the light which will be given to them will be just like a torch. It will light the path on which they have to go, just before their feet, no more. But even they will be very fortunate to have that much light, because then they can pass over that passage and enter the Jannah. Those who will not be given any light, they'll be saying, just please wait for us so that we can see the path and the way with your light that has been given to you. So this is discussed fully in Surah Al-Hadid. Now here because to some the light will be given, will not be very intense. Why? Because their iman was not so deep, because their deeds were not so high. So they will say, رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَقْفِرْ لَنَا. O Allah, make our light also complete. Make it complete. And how? وَقْفِرْ لَنَا. Because of our misdeeds, our sins, our light is very small, it's not intense, it's very of low intensity. So O Allah, forgive us our sins so that this light becomes complete. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And you have all the authority. Nobody can come in your way. Whatever you judge, you can decree and you can enforce whatever is your judgment. Now let me give you a few ahadith regarding how much this tawbah is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَنْ أَبِي حَمْزَةَ أَنَسْ إِبْنِ مَالِكٍ أَنْصَارِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ عَنْ خَادِمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I told you Hazrat Anas رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ عَنْهُ remained as a personal servant, خَادِم, for the Prophet for full 9 years. He served him. And he is the Rabi of this hadith. And the Prophet said, لَلَّهُ أَفْرَهُ بِطَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ سَقَطَ عَلَىٰ بَعِيرِهِ وَقَدْ أَضَلَّهُ فِي أَرْضٍ فَلَاطٍ. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This hadith has been included by Imam Muslim as well as Imam Bukhari in their collections of Sahih Ahadith, authentic Ahadith. وَفِي رِوَاةٍ لِمُسْلِمٍ. And there is another lengthy hadith of the same tradition which has been included by Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Sahih. لَلَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرْحًا بِطَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ هِنَ يَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَاحِلَتِهِ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَاطٍ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes more happy on the tawbah of a bondsman, of his abd, when he had committed some sin. But now he is repenting, he is returning. He is asking for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but from the depth of his heart. Hina yatubu ilayhi min ahadikum kana ala rahilatihi. Now there is a simile, an example. The detail is that suppose there was a person who was traveling in a desert on one camel. The water was also on the camel. Any, you know, water, reservoir. Then the food was also there. But at some place he just dismounted from the camel and he took some rest under some tree. In that time, the camel was lost. Now this was the only hope for his life. Desert, no water, no food, nothing of the sort. Now he can't go. He can't undertake the journey. He has nothing to drink, no water. It was also there. The jug or whatsoever he had, it was there tied to the camel. And no food. So he runs to the east, runs to the west, runs to the north, tries to find out that camel. And in the end, when he is disappointed, he is just waiting for death sitting under the tree. Suddenly he sees that the camel is standing by his side. So he is so happy. He is so overwhelmed with happiness that he wanted to say, Oh Allah, you are my Lord. I am your servant and bondman. But he says, Oh Allah, I am your Lord and you are my bondman and servant. he is so overwhelmed by his happiness because he was absolutely disappointed. He was waiting for death. And suddenly he finds that the camel is there, the food is there, the water is there. And so he is so happy. The Prophet said that Allah is more happy on the tawbah of a person than the happiness of this person who found his camel when he had absolutely disappointed about him. This is the simile that the Prophet has given, that this is the amount of happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when one of his bondsmen who had gone astray, the prodigal son, who has gone another way, but now he is returning. He is making tawbah towards him out of sincerity, from the depth of his heart. He is repenting. He is making a firm resolve that in the future, I will be a true bondman to you, O Allah. I will not break any of your laws, any of your injunctions. I will do whatever you like me to do. He is making a firm resolve that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happier than this person who had lost his camel and then suddenly found it. So let me read the whole text again. لَلَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرْحًا بِطَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ حِينَ يَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَاهِلَتِهِ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَاتٍ فَالْفَلَتَتْ مِنْهُ وَعَلَيْهَا طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ. On that very camel was the food also and the water also. فَأَيَّسَ مِنْهَا. And he disappointed. Can't find anywhere. فَأَتَى شَجَرَةً فَاسْتَجَعَ فِي ذِلِّهَا وَقَدْ أَيَّسَ مِنْ رَاهِلَتِهِ. Then he comes to a tree and sits down under the shadow and he is just waiting for his death, for his end to come. He is disappointed. Camel is not to be found at all. وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ بَيْنَمَا هُوَ كَذَلِكَ إِذْ هُوَ بِهَا قَائِمَةً عِنْدَهُ. Suddenly he sees that the camel is there. That the she camel with the food and water is still there. It is there. فَأَخَذَ بِخِتَامِهَا. And now he takes that, you know, the rope of the camel. ثُمَّ قَالَ بِشِدَّةَ الْفَرْحِ. And then out of his over-happiness, he says, اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَأَنَا رَبُّكَ. Oh Allah, you are my bondman and I am your Lord. Akhta min shiddatil farh. This mistake he committed. He wanted to say, oh Allah, you are my Lord and I am your bondman. But because of this own happiness, out of his happiness, he just makes this mistake. So this is the simile that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much happy over the tawbah of a bondsman. So we should make that tawbah. We should not delay it. We should make it at our earliest. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيُدْخِلَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِي اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Now in the rest of the four ayat, in the first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a command to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I told you he was very kind-hearted. Leniency was his second nature. And the munafiqeen and kuffar were taking disadvantage, but taking wrong advantage of his kindness and mercifulness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Ya ayyuha nabiyyu jahidil kuffara wal munafiqeena waghluz alayhim. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, strive hard against the kuffar, the non-believers, as well as the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who say they believe and they don't believe. Actually, they don't believe. وَغْلُزْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Be stern on them. Be firm against them. Be strict over them. Don't be lenient. Your leniency is encouraging them. They are taking wrong advantage of your leniency. This ayah is repeated in the Quran twice. Exactly the same words. The same without a difference of a jot. This ayah appears in Surah At-Tawbah also. Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu jahidil kuffara wal munafiqina waghluz alayhim wa ma'wahum jahannam wa bi'sal masir. And their abode will be the hell. And that is a very bad place to return. Now this ayah, what is the connection? Rest of the surah, it concerns the family life of the Muslims. How the wives should behave. What are the borders for the wives? That is the, in the rest three ayahs, four borders are being given. What are the different borders? But suddenly we find this ayah concerning the kuffar and the munafiqeen. Why? Because the common point in these ayat is the leniency. If you are over lenient to your family, you will, so to say, lead them astray. You have to be strict. You have to enforce the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your family. If you are the head of the family, you are responsible. Anything committed wrong in your house, you are to be held responsible on the day of judgment. Because it's your family, your home, your head, you are responsible. So over leniency, that also actually leads the families to go astray. Don't be harsh even, but you have to be on the guard. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu inna min azwajikum wa auladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَهُوا وَتَصْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. On the one side, you must be alert. You must be cautious. You must be on your guard that their love shouldn't take you astray. You must remain on the path of the Sharia, on the path of Deen. According to the Sharia, you have to lead your life. Don't let the love of your wives or your sons or daughters take you astray, take you away from the path of the Sharia. But also, be kind to them. Don't always fight with them and quarrel them. Because with kindness, you can train them. You can call them towards the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mawizati hasanati. But be on the alert. Be careful. Don't let them unconsciously take you away from the right path. On the other hand, it's your duty to try to save them from the fire of hell. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة. If due to your leniency they are going on the wrong path, actually you are proving to be enemy for them, because you are actually then pushing them to the fire of the hell. You have become an enemy. If you believe really in the hereafter, if that is the real life, then that is the logical result that I am telling you. But if there is no hereafter, then it's okay. Feed them in the best way. Try to get for them all the comforts, all the luxuries, either from haram or from halal, doesn't matter, because there's not going to be any day of judgment, no resurrection, no accountability, no reward, no punishment, then okay. Babar ash kosh ke alam dobara nis. Then try to have all the ash and all the luxuries of life, whether by hook or by crook, whether through halal means or haram means. But if there is resurrection, if there is the day of judgment, if there is the eternal life of the hereafter, then you'll have to think twice that what should be your attitude to your families. Now, in the rest of the three ayat, three models for women. What are the central ideas? Generally, especially among us Muslims, women think that we are just subordinates to our husbands, subordinates in this world also and in the hereafter also. If they are committing something good, we shall have the reward along with them on the day of judgment. Quran says no. Every woman is also a full human individual. She is fully responsible for her own deeds. She is dependent on the husband for her needs, worldly needs. Her husband has to support her. But as far as the good deeds, she has to earn for herself. For example, if a woman owns ornaments, gold and silver, it is her duty to pay the zakah. If she is not paying zakah, well, the husband will not be responsible on the day of judgment. She will be responsible. Because for all practical purposes, for all legal purposes, women have independent legal status. Whatever you own is your property. Women can own property. They can own business. They can have money. If they have inherited something from their parents, well, it is theirs. They own it. Then they have to pay the zakah, not the husband. They will be responsible. Well, if the husband is considerate enough that he pays the zakah on behalf of the wife, then it's okay. It is paid. But if he doesn't pay, and you also don't pay, then you will have to face the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So you are absolutely independent in your legal status as human beings. That moral freedom and that moral equality. Legally, wife and husband are not equal. Morally, they are equal. As human beings, they are equal. But when a wife has become a wife, a husband, and she has accepted someone as husband, she has to obey him. Although the obedience would be within the limits of the Sharia. Now, four examples for four women, although the categories will be three. ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط. Allah cites the example regarding those who didn't believe, who took to kufr. امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط. Wife of Nuh, one of the messengers of Allah. And wife of Lut, another messenger of Allah. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. They were wives of two messengers of Allah. But when they chose kufr, not Islam and Iman, then their fate was with the kuffar. Their husband couldn't save them from the fire of hell. And this connection and relation with their husbands, our husband, they are the messengers of Allah. They are the messengers of Allah. But to you, your own deeds, your actions, your own iman or otherwise, iman or kufr, or sayyat or hasanat, they will decide your fate. Not the deeds or iman of the husbands. They will have their own deeds, the reward of their own deeds. And you will have to face the punishment if it is. If your deeds are wrong, the punishment, you will have to face it. ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط. Allah cites the example for those who take to kufr, who disbelieve, who deny the call of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, wife of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Number two, the wife of Lut alayhi salatu wa salam. كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحِينَ. Both of them were under two of our most obedient and most righteous bondsmen. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wa salam, messengers of Allah. That is their position, that's their status. Look to the height that they, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave to them in their position. But فَخَانَتَاهُمَا, both of the wives betrayed the trust of their husbands. Now, some of the people, especially Ahle Tashayyu, they think that this means that they committed fornication or adultery. Not the Ahle Sunnah. Ahle Sunnah think, and they make the tafsir of this ayah regarding the divulging of the secrets. And the most important is that in the beginning of this surah, the same thing has been mentioned about one of the wives of the Prophet. He divulged the secret of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the incident that was we have studied already. وَإِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ وَإِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَتْ بِهِ وَأَظْهَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهُ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ إِنْ تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. So actually this mistake which was committed by one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was committed on a very big and larger scale by the wives of the Prophets Nuh and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. And then they took to kufr. They remained with their nation. Because most of the nation of their people who were living in those two cities, Sodom and Amora, they remained in kufr. They didn't accept the call of Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know that even though Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam called his people for 950 years towards Iman and Islam, they didn't respond positively. So the wives, they preferred kufr, and the khiyanat actually was regarding the secrets. They divulged the secrets, they betrayed the trust, or regarding the secrets of their husband, Hazrat Nuh and Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. So both of the husbands couldn't be of any avail to them, couldn't save them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقِيلَ اَدْخُلَ النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. And this is fast and qila, it was said, enter the hell, enter fire with those who are entering it. But this is actually going to be said on the day of judgment. Things which are absolutely certain in Quran is the usual practice that they are said in the past tense. Past tense because it is definite. Whatever has happened, there can be no doubt about it. So things which are absolutely certain, they have been said in Quran in the past tense. قِيلَ ادْخُلَ النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. It will surely be said on the day of judgment, enter this fire with those who are entering it. So this is one example. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَتَ فِرْعَوْنَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other hand cites the example for those who had iman, who have faith and iman. امْرَأَتَ فِرْعَوْنَ, wife of Fir'aun. The name of that wife was Asiya. And she was from Bani Israel. And she was a mu'mina. She believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His unity. So actually she was a very noble woman, very righteous woman. إِذْ قَالَتْ. Now what was the condition? Although she was living in the palace of the king, Fir'aun, but all the luxuries of that palace, they were biting her. She was not happy there because she was a mu'mina. She had belief in Allah. And Fir'aun, he was in revolt against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually, all the amenities she must have in the palace of the Fir'aun, the king. What were her feelings? إِذْ قَالَتْ, when she said, رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي إِنَّكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Lord, build for me a house, إِنَّكَ, near you, with you, in Jannah. I prefer to be there. وَنَجَّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ. And please, give me escape from this Fir'aun. Make some way for me that I get away from Fir'aun. I don't like to live with him. نَجَّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ. وَعَمَلِهِ, and his deeds, his actions, his deeds, misdeeds, all these things, I am fed up with these things. I don't want to live in this palace. I am fed up of all these luxuries, etc. وَنَجَّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And please save me from these people who are mushrikeen, who are zalimeen. That was the feeling of a mu'mina, although she was living in a palace, going as a queen, wife of a king. But you know, because she had real iman, these were the feelings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us here. And the third example, وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا. And Allah cites the example for the mu'mins also. This wow, her fiatah joins it with the previous. So two examples of her kuffar, two for the mu'mina. Two kuffar, wife of Hazrat Lut and wife of Hazrat Lut. Two mu'mina, one was the wife of Fir'aun and the other, مَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ. Mary, the daughter of Imran. It's just possible that Maryam, Mary, her father might have the name Imran, but the second meaning can be because Ali Imran, Imran was the person whose progeny is this whole family, Ali Imran. So actually it sometimes happens that a person is named and instead of father, the chief of that family with which the clan began, son of Fala, that's all. وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا. She guarded her chastity. She guarded her sexual desire, controlled, kept it under full control. فَنَفَرْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا. And we breathed and blew into her from our spirit. This is the Ruhul Qudus, this is the Ruhum Minhu, Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wassalam. وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا. And she testified to the words of his Lord. When the angel came to her, we have all these details in Surah Maryam. This surah was recited in the court of Nagus, Najashi of Abyssinia. And he testified that this is 100% correct. Those ayat of Surah Maryam. And there the detailed argument that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel. And he said, he communicated to her the message of Allah that you will give birth to a person, to a Isa ibn Maryam, and she accepted it. صَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا. She testified to the words of his Lord, وَكُتُبِهِ. And she testified to the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the books Torah that were already revealed to Hazrat Moses, that the books of the prophets, so many prophets of the house of Israel, they were given books, small books, and then Zabur, that was given to Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wassalam. So she believed in all those books which were given to the prophets before her time. وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. And she was from among our most obedient servants, our most obedient bondsmen. Now this is another example. And if you want to make a distinction between two examples, the first example is extreme. Best husbands and wives worst. Two wives, but they were the wives of the best people they can have ever lived in this world. the messengers of Allah. Best husbands having worst wives. Then worst husband, Fir'aun. But the wife, Hazrat Asiya. An example for the Ahl-e Iman. Then there is the third example, that herself, Hazrat Maryam, Salamul Alayha, she was righteous, pious. And then she grew up in an environment, because Hazrat Zakariya, who was the husband of her aunt, he was the caretaker of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. So actually, she grew up in a very good environment, pious environment. And then she had herself the piety and all the virtue within her. And then there is a room left. Worst husband and worst wife. That was Abu Lahab and his wife Umm Jameel. Both worst enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Quran has devoted full one surah to their mentioning. Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Sayasla naran zata lahab wa mraatuhu. Hammalat al hatab. Fi jidha hablum min masad. So there can be all these four possibilities can happen to any woman. Now it is up to a Muslim woman which model she chooses for herself. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.